This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I appreciate all of you joining us this weekend. Couple quick notes before we get into the interviews this week that are going to run a little bit longer than usual just because we are covering a lot of different topics here. I want everybody to check back throughout the week on our website and tune in to some of those webinars that I have been hosting with some of the companies we follow on the site. It's a great way to get up to date on the companies, a little bit more of a personal setting, and quite frankly, we're all sitting at home, so it gives you a little break from whatever else you are doing. Now, this weekend's show, I am featuring Adrian Day in the third segment. In the fourth segment, we are getting an update from Silvercrest Metals, but in these first two segments, I am chatting with Rick Bensignor, founder of Bensignor Investment Strategies. He writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors, which is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. Rick, let's start off with the energy sector and the oil price. It was a historic week for oil as the price dropped into negative territory, whole way down to almost negative $40 a barrel, as the world really came to realize that we have too much oil above ground and, quite frankly, not enough storage or any storage left. Take us through how you treated this oil collapse this week in terms of your portfolio management, please.
So, Corey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was a very interesting week, to say the least, in the oil market. And this is a market I've traded for many, many years, in fact, decades. And it's a very difficult market to trade because a lot of times fundamentals don't necessarily drive day-to-day market action, but occasionally, you know, they do. And what happened this week is that you had the expiring May futures contract with significant open interest. And for those of your listeners that don't know what open interest is in the futures markets, there has to be a long for every short. And when you have a long offset by a short, each contract is counted, and that makes up the open interest. So there were, I believe, about something like 125,000 contracts of open interest in the May contract, which was a huge amount going into expiration of a contract. And ultimately, the people long who thought the price would go up or were willing to take delivery ultimately really lost the option of taking delivery because there was nowhere to store the oil. All the oil tanks in the country are either filled to capacity or have been spoken for by prior commitments to using that space. And you had a situation that if all the people with oil contracts on the long side actually took possession of the oil, you'd have to store far more oil than there possibly could be stored anywhere. And so you had people who started selling out of these contracts, and the selling begot new selling, ultimately to the point that, you know, oil cracks under $10. It started at 18, I think, on Monday. So it breaks down under 10, and then when it was somewhere in the high single digits, the exchange, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, which owns the NYMEX exchange where oil is traded, announces that oil can trade at a negative price, which I think most people never even thought of as being possible. And that just opened up the floodgates even more, because as much as the fact that if you had a commitment to buy oil and went to zero, at least you were capped at the loss of whatever price you bought your commitment at, your futures contract. Once the exchange said, yeah, in theory, these things can trade less than zero, That just made much, you know, additional sellers come in because you couldn't even decap with a loss at zero. It was essentially became unlimited. And as you mentioned a couple minutes ago, we saw the price of May oil trade down to minus $40. So what's that mean? How does a commodity trade minus? It actually means that if you're long the futures contract, you needed to pay somebody not to take delivery of the contract. You literally had to lose or potentially lose significant amount of money, even though you own a commodity which typically is worth significant amount of money. Each contract of oil is for 1,000 barrels, and you know, so when it started the day at $18 a barrel, that contract is worth $18,000, and but at one point during the day, you, instead of having something that was worth something, you now are actually paying somebody, like, please take my oil, because there was nowhere to actually take physical delivery. Now, we've seen a terrific comeback in, you know, since Monday. Today, now, the May contract is off the board. The June contract, which is now front month, right now is trading just about $17 a barrel, so it's come nicely back and essentially has been capped for the balance of the week, both today and yesterday, right around $18 a barrel, which is where we started this mess on Monday. So it has fully recovered. And it'll kind of be interesting to see what happens going forward, because you built a tremendous amount of shorts into the market. And of course, now that we know that oil can trade negative in the future, it's possible that, I mean, we hope we never see this again, but at least it kind of opens the door to the fact that it could do that. And it changes the way people, I think, perceive, buying in the future, because just the psychological effect of knowing that zero is always the, seeing a security trade down to zero is always the most you could lose. Well, now we have something that says, not necessarily. You can actually own something that has negative value and you're stuck on it.
Oh man, just a historic week again for oil, but you bring up a good theory there of just how that could change some people's mentality about investing in oil when it can actually go negative. Do you look at oil though, and I've had a couple comments and questions about this, that with oil trading at this extremely low level and with oil still being used for many things around the world, yes, it's being used a bit less because people aren't traveling and a lot of stuff is shut down. Are these low levels for oil almost a buy of a lifetime in a long-term sense?
I guess in theory you would say yes, because relative to historical pricing, you know, this week, the lowest front-month futures had ever traded since they started trading WTI West Texas Intermediate futures here in the U.S. was $9.75. So we blew through that by almost $50 lower into this negative pricing. Historically, so now we're, you know, in the upper teens. The thing about oil you have to understand, and this is very important for your listeners to understand, especially if they're not professional traders, but just individuals. Futures contracts are not investable over the long term, especially when they run in what's called contango, which is the farther out each futures contract is from the present price, the higher the price is. And this is a function of the futures markets, which is why you can see that if every month you kept paying a higher price, let's say price didn't change, you'd keep paying a higher price and therefore losing money every month just to have exposure to the oil market. If you don't understand how futures are priced, do not think of investing in oil.
All right, Rick, some good and I think valuable comments for all those looking at oil, trying to understand if they can take advantage of this lower price. We're out of time for the first segment. I am having you back on the next segment. You and I will be discussing a bit more of the precious metals and also touching base on the U.S. dollar. Everyone, stick around. Rick and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNLive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Rick, let's switch focus a little bit to the precious metals market because gold continues to perform nicely. And this week, a noteworthy action was GDX breaking above this right around 32 level that was strong resistance, multi-year resistance. GDX is now at levels we haven't seen in 7 years. How important is this breakout to you, and what is your assessment of the overall health of the gold sector?
So I am bullish gold. I think for a variety of reasons, one of the main ones is it appears as if the government printing presses are on. And if governments are going to keep just printing money, the paper money loses its value. And that's good for a hard asset like gold. So that's one reason I like gold, is just the fact that the Fed stopping and other central banks essentially backstopping declines in the market is good for gold. So even though the price of equities can go up, so can gold. And you're witnessing that gold is rallying at the same time stocks are rallying. But other than a quick decline in gold because all assets got bombed into March, you still saw, so if you look at last year, you know, gold went up and the stock market went up. So they don't have to be opposites to each other the way most people think. I think gold is in demand now. The demand for actual bullion bars is rather significant. And I was even reading a story today that there's a company in Perth, Australia, that's constantly fabricating gold and shipping to clients in the U.S. because so many people are going after gold and want a piece of their portfolio, you know, in the metal. So I think gold is good, and it's going to need to get through 1800 next, where we saw multiple highs. When gold peaked in 2011 at 1920-something in front-month futures, it sold off and then three times peaked right around 1800 before selling off again. So we got back to, I think it was 1789 on the high of this move, so we got very close to it again. You really got to get above 1805 now to break gold out to then test all-time highs. And at that point, I would think we'll bust through all-time highs. So if we can get through 1800 and kind of build a base above 1800, then I'm not concerned that the all-time high really acts as resistance. So I do like the metal. Gold stocks I've been waiting for the GDX to break above 32. It had multiple highs in the last 6 years, right around the $32 level. We closed this week at 34 and change. Where is it? No, 33.93 looks like the high. And it would be all full steam ahead for me in buying more into gold stocks. The one thing that somewhat concerned on is that one of the models we use is showing the very high likelihood that you have upside exhaustion right now in GDX. So it's kind of like, darn if you do and darn if you don't. I want to buy it, and at the same time, I'm staring at a model that I believe a lot in that says this may not be the right time, just as it's broken out. So what I think the way I play this is watch what goes on over the next few weeks. As long as gold keeps trading and GDX keeps trading higher, then I stay with the gold that I'm already, the GDX names that I'm already long. I may not add to them, but I'm not going to reduce. If I get a Friday close in the GDX that's lower than the Friday close from any four Fridays back, so I'm always going to reference like the current Friday to four back. If I see a subsequent close that's lower than the close from four Fridays back, then I probably take some off the table. So I'll let this breakout occur if it's going to. But if in the next few weeks it can't advance, then I have to respect the idea that you know, I do have this signal here. So that's how I approach it.
All right. Good thing for everyone to reference as we look at some of the future closes. Let's wrap it up with a comment on the U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar holding above 100 on the dollar index. Again, there's a debate. Is the dollar going to skyrocket higher in almost this deflationary narrative that a lot of people are pumping? Or is the dollar going to turn back down? This all when the Fed is printing a lot of money, but so are other countries. Where do you stand on the dollar?
So I think the dollar is a tough instrument to trade short term, unless you're, again, you watch the markets closely and you look at, let's say, the euro or the yen against the dollar. And, you know, if you focus on markets, especially a few markets specifically, you can start learning the rhythm and you can trade them short term. Longer term, it's tough to trade the dollar as a trading instrument. But there are certainly implications and decisions that you can make based upon its long-term trends. And I do think I am actually bullish the dollar. I do think the dollar continues higher, but that doesn't mean that a dollar that's trading at 100 now can't fall to 97 or 98. I just think generally the dollar will make its way higher over time and likely take out the 2000, I'm trying to think what year it is. I guess it was the 2016 high, or maybe it was January 1st of 2017. I think that's when it was actually that the dollar made its secular peak and it's been down since then. I do think we ultimately take it out. So longer term, I do like the dollar.
Now, what does a higher dollar impact? We know multinational companies struggle with a higher dollar. It actually does kind of hold down the gold price when you consider that gold is at all-time highs against pretty much every other currency except right. for the dollar. What do you think will be impacted the most if the dollar does break higher?
So if it grinds higher over time, I don't think it will have nearly as much impact on gold, negatively on gold, as it could. If it spikes higher and all of a sudden, you know, the dollar index is trading at 100, shoots to 105, and that's very significant in currency terms, that could easily keep a cap on bullion and put pressure on it. If it grinds higher over time, I don't think it necessarily has to materially impact the price of gold advancing. Because I think gold's advancing now on other issues that are not specific to the dollar. And I think it's more of a fear of currency devaluations and kind of species currencies across the globe and the value of a paper bill as compared to this yellow metal that human beings have attached tremendous value to for thousands of years. It's why I don't ever tell institutional clients, first of all, they're generally not interested in cryptocurrencies. I myself, as a strategist, I don't look at the cryptos. I don't recommend them. You know, crypto's around a few years. Gold's been around thousands of years. There are gold coins from, you know, before the year zero. This has always been the store of value. And so I'll stick with that. Even though speculatively, maybe Bitcoin goes to 20,000 or 50,000, I have no idea. But I'm not going to play something that you have no idea why it trades the way it does. Gold, at least, we have a sense over time of how it trades and what the relationships are that exist. So in general, I like gold, and I like the dollar as long as it does not spike higher.
All right, Rick, great chatting with you. Thank you for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. If anybody wants more information on Rick's products, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Everybody, stick around. I am going to be right back with Adrian Day, focusing a bit more on the precious metals sector in terms of the stocks. Rick, thanks for your time today.
Corey, thank you.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
More than 52,000 Americans have now died from COVID-19. Many officials believe the worst is yet to come. But some states are now beginning to ease restrictions. Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
We are working on strategies that I will announce on Monday about the extent to which Texas can begin to open business. And we're doing so based upon the advice of the four medical doctors that we have working on this project.
A federal judge has ruled the government has violated protections for migrant children during the pandemic. Lori Levinson of Loyola Law School.
It's a really dire situation by the migrants that led to this ruling. Not only do you have them full of kids who don't have their parents with them, but you have the spread of the COVID virus throughout the facilities. So there's really no way to wait until later, given the dire situation. It's a ticking time bomb.
This is USA Radio News. The FDA has approved a new COVID-19 test that you can take at home. USA Radio's John Hunt has details.
Dr. Stephen Hahn, the Food and Drug Administration Commissioner, announced during the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing that the organization has now approved the first at-home COVID-19 test kit.
This is a test where, under certain circumstances, with a doctor's supervision, a test can be mailed to a patient, and the patient can perform the self-swab and then mail it back and get the results after that time, all under the guidance of a licensed physician.
Hahn said the FDA has also approved the manufacture of 63 other tests.
Joe Biden has made a prediction about the upcoming presidential election. During a fundraiser, he said, "Mark my words, I think he's going to try to kick back the election somehow, come up with some kind of rationale of why it can't be held." You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. He is a wealth of information and I think takes a very unique look at these markets using behavioral finance. In this segment, we are switching almost exclusively to focus on the precious metals sector, as I am chatting with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management. Adrian, let's start off at the very top level looking at the gold price. Now, gold had another good week. It's closing just above 1700 as we're recording this. It's a little before the close on Friday, but still, gold is trading right around 1725 on the spot market, on the futures market, trading right around, 1735. So looking to, again, kind of try to put in that floor, that weekly close above 1700. It's a good environment right now for gold. You look at that weekly chart, and ever since that bottom in 2018, gold has just consistently moved higher. What's your thought on the ability of gold to hold in this new trading range, potentially even test out 1800 again fairly soon?
Thank you for having me, and hello. I wouldn't be at all surprised if, say next week we got a bit of a pullback. Let's face it, gold has been, has been on a tear for the last month or 6 weeks. And it wouldn't surprise me if we saw a bit of a pause, a bit of a comeback. But fundamentally, I think gold is remarkably strong. It has come back from the March crash much stronger than any other asset. It's now above the highs it was, as you just mentioned, before the crash. there are very few assets of which that can be said. So the strength is certainly there. And the way I look at it is, I mean, everything has changed. The fundamentals have changed, and they changed because it is now abundantly clear to everybody that, you know, global monetary policy, if we can call it a policy, global monetary policy is exceptionally loose, and that is very, very positive for gold. I mean, QE infinity, which is what we have now. I ask the question, how on earth does the Federal Reserve and other central banks ever draw back from that? If they found it impossible to draw back from QE1 and QE2, which they did, this will be impossible for them to draw back, and I wonder if they're even going to try. So this probably ends in some kind of crisis situation and an undoing or a revision of the monetary system. So that's exceptionally positive for gold. The technicals, you know, I just mentioned how it's roared back from that low and exceeded the previous high. Gold is looking very good on the technical basis. The two small corrections we've had in the last 6 weeks have been to the trend line and have bounced back off that trend line very convincingly. And the third thing that I think is perhaps in some ways even the most important is the sentiment. The sentiment has completely changed towards gold now. People who've been standing on the sidelines waiting for a good opportunity have rushed in. But more than that, people who, you know, 10 years ago would poo-hoo gold and think they would never invest in gold are now beginning to buy. So the sentiment has changed completely. So all three things, fundamentals, technicals, and sentiment, suggests that whether we have a correction next week or the week after sort of doesn't matter. You know, a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, you know, gold is going to be higher.
Let's drive down into the stocks now, starting off with GDX. GDX broke out this week and is holding above about that 32 level, currently trading almost 34. This is a significant breakout because we haven't seen these levels touched in GDX for over 7 years. How crucial and how noteworthy is it in your eyes to see this breakout when it comes to the large cap miners and the royalty companies?
Oh, I think it's very significant because, again, what's happening is generalist investors are now turning to gold, and they might buy gold bullion, they might buy gold ETFs, and they might buy stocks. But if they buy stocks, they're either going to buy the GDX or they're going to buy, you know, Barrick, Newmont, and two or three others, Franco-Nevada. They're not at this moment going to be buying exploration companies. And so this breakout is to me a reflection of the interest from generalist investors pouring into the gold stocks. And, you know, it's been said many, many times, you know, it's a small market. And, you know, Apple can gain or lose, Microsoft can gain or lose in one day. The entire value of the top 10 senior gold mining stocks, the entire value. So when people start to buy them, as we know, they have these very sharp moves. I think it's very, very significant indeed.
So, Adrian, obviously the environment for these major companies is almost perfect right now. You have a rising gold price, the gold price in other currencies outside of the U.S. dollar that's at all-time highs, and the oil price that has just collapsed. How, though, from a negative standpoint, do you weigh the potential of some mines potentially being shut down when it comes to majors? The argument being it would still cost companies money to keep these on care and maintenance, but it's not like the metal is going anywhere.
Well, a couple of points about that. Yes, you mentioned oil, which, of course, is the number one cost input for mines. The other thing you didn't mention, or you sort of alluded to, was the currencies. You know, if you look where mines are located, Canada, Australia, Brazil, South Africa, etc., all of those currencies have absolutely collapsed against the U.S. dollar. Now, there's mines in the U.S., of course, but most mines are in those countries with what we call commodity currencies, and the commodity currencies have collapsed. And so that means that the cost of labor, all the cost of those supplies, the cost of building roads, all of those things is cheap. And that's the second largest cost input. This is different from what we saw in 2001 at the beginning of the great bull market, where for 5, 6, 7 years, as the price of gold went up, so too did the price of commodity currencies, the price of oil, and the price of base metals, which, of course, is also important for capex, building a mine. And so the margins didn't expand anywhere near as much as one would think just looking at the price of gold. Today, that's a totally different situation. Whether it lasts one quarter, two quarters, three quarters, I don't know. But this should be the sweet spot for gold mining companies. Your question relating to mine closures, are you talking about mines that have gone on care and maintenance because of corona?
Yes, because of the COVID shutdown.
You know, most of these are going to be temporary, certainly when it comes to the gold mining. I mean, all of the gold mining companies that I've spoken to are sort of itching to restart when it's safe, when we can assure the safety of our workers. And sorry, I don't mean by my tone to imply they don't mean that, but they're itching to restart when it's safe. That's not necessarily true of, say, the copper miners, who, without being too cynical, I won't say they're thankful that they have an excuse to shut down some mines for a little while, but let's just say it certainly helped in the market that there's less supply. So, no, I mean, I think the vast majority of these mines, and I can't think of one off the top of my head, but the vast majority of these mines are going to come back on as soon as they're permitted to.
All right, Adrian, we're going to wrap it up there. Great having you on this show. Thanks for joining us on the weekend show. I'll have you back on in another, let's say, month or so. But in the meantime, stay safe out there and have a great rest of your weekend.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ zapping hand sanitizer to immune building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30 count bottle of Immune Booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours. Yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're wrapping up this hour with a company update from Silvercrest Metals. I am chatting with the president, Chris Ritchie. Silvercrest is traded on the TSX under the symbol SIL and on the NYSE under the symbol SILV. Now, Chris, let's start off by talking about the recent financing news. Over the last couple weeks, there has been a few news releases that we're going to summarize here. Now, the last time you and I chatted, we were talking about the $75 million bought deal that was backed out of by National Bank. This all happened during that race to cash just over a month and a half ago now. But over the last couple weeks, the company has raised a total of about $27 million Canadian. Now, $101 came from a private placement that was oversubscribed, initially announced for $75 million up to $101 million. And then earlier this week, April 21st, on Tuesday, SSR exercised its participation right, investing $26 million. Another nuance of this is that those shares that SSR subscribed for were then sold to Eric Sprott at a just slightly higher price than what SSR subscribed for. Chris, take us through the plans for this money and how this financing package came together, please.
Sure. Thanks, Corey. Yes. Obviously, we tried to do that financing a few weeks ago that obviously didn't pan out with the market conditions doing what it did. But as a testament to the support we're very fortunate to have from our shareholders, we did just raise that $101 million. $85 million of that $101 came from six investors. And these are very long-term people that I don't expect that money, that those shares will be seen by the market for quite some time. And then as you referenced, that SSR has rights to participate on a pro rata basis, which would have meant 1.3 million shares pro rata to this particular investment, but they also have the right to get back up to 9.9%. So what they did this morning, it was press released that they did exercise the right for the full 3.6 million shares to get back to 9.9%, but they subsequently sold those shares to Eric Sprott today. So, I mean, they only clipped a 15-cent differential, meaning they participated at 750, sold to Eric Sprott at 765. And that was that extra $26 million that we got in the bank today. So, it's a nice testament to the support we have, but also it's just good to see that there's some more strong investors coming in. In terms of the use of proceeds, if you want to convert that Canadian dollars into U.S., we're approximately 160, 165 million U.S. in the bank. We do not have our final feasibility study out yet to know our exact capital requirements, but if we were to ballpark what we need to have in hand to go into production, it's roughly 150 million U.S. So again, we're not sure when we're actually going to start construction, given that we're shut down in Mexico. But the point here is that we're pretty much near at the finish line in terms of everything we need for a construction decision. And then with a little bit of wiggle room around the edges for what we would need to keep up a really aggressive drill program, which we'd like to do. And that's a very, very big de-risking event in markets like this. So again, for us to have that in hand is a massive de-risking event to help sort of shore up the downside protection and clear the runway, hopefully, for what is a lot of upside potential.
So I understand. Yes, right now in Mexico, you can't get any work done, but we are starting to see restrictions being eased in other countries. But when it comes to a production decision, okay, you don't have the feasibility out yet, but do you see moving into production sooner rather than later?
An important thing to know with Silvercrest and their overall strategy, and this is evidenced with Santa Elena, the first mine that Eric built next door. He's built six, but the one we built next door, was he likes to build things in a staged approach. Let's get into production for the lowest amount of capital humanly possible, as quickly as humanly possible, so we're not wasting shareholders' money, and we can get into production quickly. So what we have today from an economic standpoint, we believe is more than economic enough to charge forward. Again, for anyone referencing our old PEA that's almost 12 months old now, with our current commodity prices, your IRR is north of 80% and your payback period is less than 1 year. Since that time, we've made three major new discoveries, all at higher grades than what we've been having. And we've seen the gold price and silver price start to move higher. So again, this story is partially about how to get into production and get to that free cash flow story. But a huge part of it is going to be about how much more upside is there once we get to drill the additional 30 veins that we have yet to get to yet.
So what about the balance, too, is if you guys move into a production scenario, even if it is, say, on a slightly smaller scale, but then you keep on finding resources, adding to your resources, even if they are higher grade, doesn't that add a bit of, I would think, comfort to some other investors understanding that, well, if you're already in production, you find higher grade resources, that just adds to the overall value of the project without having to deal with a prolonged construction?
Well, one really good thing to note with starting out in something small is in our PEA, the capital required is roughly 100 million U.S. We're probably ballparking a little bit more than that now for some of the changes we made to the plant and the mill. But if you look at that PEA and you look at what the economics are for the first 4 years, it's roughly about 130 to 40 million per year of free cash flow. So the fact that we're sitting on a project right now that should currently pay for itself in the first year, you get a sense that every 13 million, 14 million ounces we find at a similar grade should add that roughly 30 to 40 million of free cash flow. And again, you have to discount that to be fair. So yes, our leverage to the drill bit is extremely significant. To put that in a slightly different way, the last three major discoveries that we delineated in the last 6-7 months were roughly 50 to 60 million ounces on a resource basis. Again, I referenced it in the last chat we had that Canaccord took those 50 to 60 million ounces and converted it to 36 million ounces at 1.6 kilos. So again, when you're able to take 6 months of work and provide roughly 290 million U.S. Of value, we're very excited about what the next 3 to 5 years looks like, knowing that we've already got a robust story for the first, hopefully, 8 to 10 years already. So again, yeah, that leverage to the drill bit above and beyond all the capital that's already been committed can lengthen the mine life, but it also gives us the potential to hopefully scale from 1,250 tons a day to maybe 1,500 to maybe 1,750 and really scale this up. So it's option value that shouldn't cost a lot of money. And again, it's very, very different from a traditional mine with lower grades because we don't need economies of scale. A lot of other operations need significant economies of scale just to get the economics to work, and then you're still going to be leveraged to the commodity price. Where now we've gotten over that critical threshold, or what we believe we've got over that critical threshold of robust economics, permits in place, and now with very, very significant de-risking event of getting that capital required.
Yeah, you've jumped over a lot of hurdles there. You even said permitting in place, and you don't have that financing risk to go into development. So, hey, that's a very unique aspect. But then also this exploration aspect, I know people are wondering, as soon as Mexico opens up, are you guys pretty much ready to go get those drills back on site? You had a lot of them already drilling, but this temporary delay hopefully will just be temporary.
Yeah, there's a couple interesting angles to take with that. I mean, first and foremost, health and safety is the most important thing for our employees. So Mexico has very prudently shut down everything that's deemed non-essential. They're starting to reopen on May 17th for certain areas based on how impacted those areas have been based on COVID-19. We're going to move forward with the safety of the community. We do not want to be bringing people into the community that might be bringing in virus. So, yes, when it's appropriate, we're going to get back drilling aggressively. We do have, like I said, additional 30 veins that haven't been drilled. But more importantly, those three veins that were the bulk of those major discoveries in the last 6-7 months, there is a significant extension area available to us that we want to get back to right away.
Unfortunately, we are out of time for this radio segment, but Chris and I are going to continue this conversation addressing a few more of the questions that have come in. To listen to that full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com, and click on the weekend show posting, Hour 1. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this first hour. Please keep those emails coming, and please remember to listen to some of those company updates and even a replay of the couple webinars that I hosted this week. I'm going to be back at it early next week, so everyone have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.